Hey guys, it's Tim from Capes and Scals, and I'm here once again to go over the previews with you. Today, we're going over that large, big book, which has everything but Marvel and DC in it. This is book number 370. This is July 2019 for release in September of 2019. If you missed the Marvel DC one, that was our episode before. Just head on back one on the feed. You should be able to find it, no problem. There was a lot of really cool stuff coming out over there. If you have any questions on how to do the previews, feel free to let us know. I am at @mad_dog_Tim on Twitter. And the podcast is at Capes and Scals on Twitter. If you want to see me on Instagram to get the full experience, it's at Capes and Scals Podcast. And if you want to email us funny drawings that you and your child did together and was on your refrigerator and nobody appreciated them, we will appreciate them. You can email those pictures to capesandscalspodcast@gmail.com. All right, first up, we're going to go to Image. And our first title is SFSX, or Safe Sex. Number one by Tina Horn and Michael Dowling. Tina Horn, I'm not super familiar with. Apparently, she's written beloved erotic stories in the past. And Michael Dowling, he was the artist on Unfollow, which was a Vertigo book, I believe. Unfollow was really good. I did end up reading all of that. Really cool book. So the art is really good. I know that, and I'm interested to see where this goes. Essentially, what this is, it's an alternate America where sex is documented and has strict policy. And there are underground sex scenes that want to fight the power and free their friend. This is a weird kind of futuristic, it's a weird concept to think of where you'd have to document you had sex and who you had sex with, and there's just your something so intimate to a person being documented by, I assume, the government. It's a unique story. Clearly not for the kiddies, so make sure you get them out of the room when you read it. I don't know how that works, but check out the book. Next up, we have Battle Pug, number one, written by Mike Norton. Not that Mike Norton, but he is also very funny. Art by Alan Pasquai. Not very good at names, but I think I got that one. This is a hit webcomic that has been collected into hardcovers, and now it's going to have its own ongoing series with the original creators. It's a silly humor book. It's in the veins of something like AmeriKarate or Shirtless Bear Fighter, Grizzly Shark, just really silly, but really fun. You may remember on the Team Ashen channel where I infamously talked about the re-release of the hardcover for Battle Pug, and then this whole drowning pug thing happened, and, well, there's no dogs were actually hurt in the making of that video, but yeah, pugs, you can drown. Next from Image are, these next two titles actually from Image are coming back, and I was a little surprised because they all kind of just disappeared abruptly. That is, Pretty Deadly is coming back with Pretty Deadly the Rat, number one of five, which is being written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, who's known for Captain Marvel, and art by Emma Rios, who's done Mirror, amongst other things. Her art's so good. This is a new chapter taking place at the dawn of Hollywood. It was a very strange book initially, and once you get to know the characters, it's a really fun title. I remember I read probably the first four or five issues. I really liked it, but the schedule got a little off, so I just kind of fell off. The next book I also was reading, it's Trees. Trees, Three Fates, number one of five. Written by Warren Ellis, art by Jason Howard. I really enjoyed Trees, and again, it's a book that just, was it coming out, was it not coming out? Nobody really knew, and Warren Ellis is notorious for that, so. This takes place in Russia, where a dead body is found at the leg of a tree. Trees in this story are these giant alien stalk-looking cylinder things that have fallen, and they basically fell to Earth, and they did nothing for the longest time, and all of a sudden they released all this, like, acid-y kind of stuff and destroyed a lot of our planet. And then nothing else happened again, so it's kind of just like, what were they planning? Were they trying to terraform our land? Is it a coincidence? Is it an alien attack? And just human life evolving around them. Really cool story. It's the same people involved on both these books. I'd love for them to be great. I like that they're telling you this is a miniseries, because I did not feel that the two main series for these kind of wrapped in a timely fashion, and I think a lot of people, like myself, fell off, and I'm a pretty patient dude, so. Next up, it's time to talk about some trades from Image, and then we'll go on to another company. We got Assassination, Trade Paperback Volume 1, collecting issues 1 through 5. That's our boy, Kyle Starks, writing. He's known for a great many things, including Sex Castle and Rick and Morty. And then we have Erica Henderson, probably best known for Unbeatable Squirrel Girl on the art. Her art is so great in this because you're so used to it being a more cartoon kind of style. To see her do this violence when you're used to Squirrel Girl is really great. I love this book. I tell everybody to read it. And then we got Battle Chasers Anthology Trade Paperback. It's the whole series of Battle Chasers, which a lot of people love. They love Joe Mad. They love his art. It's written by Joe Majora and Munir Sharif. And the art is also Joe Mad with Tom McWeeny. And this is $25 trade for the whole thing. The books aren't terribly expensive to find. They're just trickier to find. So I think this is the best way for you to just get the whole series and wrap it all up. Next up, we have Headlopper Volume 3. Writer, artist, cover, Andrew McLean with Jordi Belair coming in for some colors. Headlopper's just a really cool story. I believe I've talked about it at length when the other volumes came out. It is a sword and sorcery, hack-slash-fantasy kind of story, and McLean doing the art and the writing. It's always a more intimate story. I love his art, and if you keep missing the issues, they come out quarterly, and they're just oversized issues. It ends up being about the same, but if you're like, I just never see this on my shelves, that's why. It comes out on a more quarterly schedule. And then rapid fire here for Image to wrap up this preview. If you are looking for new volumes of some of these titles, we've got Monstrous coming out with Volume 4. We have Paper Girls coming out with Volume 6. Oblivion Song comes out with Volume 3. Port of Earth, Zach Kaplan, who's always a lot of fun, coming out with Volume 3. Unnatural Volume 3, as well as Walking Dead Compendium 4. And that should be the wrap on that series. I guess we'll be talking about that soon enough. In other podcasts, so yeah, that compendium should be it. Next, let's take a walk over to Dark Horse, where we have Aether, The Disappearance of Violet Bell, number 1 of 5, continuing the Aether storyline, written by Matt Kint, art by David Rubin. I think Matt Kint is one of the best writers, and when he does things that are more sci-fi, more unusual, let's say, I think he's on point. My favorite thing he's done is Divinity. If you're unfamiliar with Aether, I'll just tell you how they described it, and I loved it. It was part Sherlock Holmes, part Dr. Seuss. It's a very trippy world. It has some deep storytelling. I think if you want something different and definitely unique, this is a good pickup for you. Next up, we have Steeple, number 1 of 5. This is written by John Allison, who is the writer for Giant Days, which is one of my favorite books, period. And then we have art by Sarah Stern. It's about two women with wildly different worldviews becoming friends to battle supernatural events in a parish. I'm not huge on these religious stories, but I am huge on John Allison, so I'll be picking this up and seeing what happens. I don't know how, I'm assuming this won't be a super slice of life story, so it will be cool to see some of his work in a different field. I know I've read some other stuff by him, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I love Giant Days, and I want to support the guy as much as possible. Now we're moving on to IDW, where we get G.I. Joe number 1. It's a new number 1, but it's not a discontinuation of A Real American Hero. This is a new side story. It is basically a story, first of all, written by Paul Allure, with art by Chris Evenhuis. Cobra has taken over. Follow new and old characters as they attempt to topple Cobra. It sounds more like a real-world military with coups and citizens helping the resistance. The cover has kind of a nod to, like, Tiger Force, which I loved. It looks like a cool thing. If you want to jump into G.I. Joe and jumping into Real American Hero seems too daunting for you, which is totally fair, that would be an interesting place, an interesting jumping-on point. I assume it's an alternate reality, and it's kind of like a what-if series, so we'll see what happens with that. Then we have Ghost Tree Trade Paperback, written by Bobby Kernow and art by Simon Gaughan. Ghost Tree, I read issue 1. Super cool book. Really cool. The art's very cool. It is an Asian kind of story about a kid who's told to come, by his grandfather, to come back to this tree in their surrounding their house kind of thing, in the woods surrounding their house, and he says, come back on X day and something cool will happen. And something cool does happen. It's a very real world kind of story, even though it has a supernatural element. It's not like scary supernatural per se. This feels kind of comparable to like a Princess Mononoke kind of story. Something like that, where the forest is kind of its own entity. I really enjoyed it, and I will probably pick this up because I didn't get to read the other issues that are out. And I think I would enjoy that. So I will definitely read this at some point. Last from IDW, I got Samurai Jack Lost Worlds trade paperback, which is also written by Paul Allure, the guy who was writing the G.I. Joe number one. I did read issue one of this when this came out, and it was a really cool story involving Samurai Jack versus Samurai Jack, the classic, is it a clone, is it a robot, is it this, is it that story. I will say, if you haven't followed Samurai Jack in comics, all his comics are super good, so if you enjoyed the show, the first run was Four Trades Worth by Jim Zub. They were really, really good. Originally, they tied up the series, but then pretty much it's all still canon, but the last issue, because the show came back. So it's relevant to you if you're a fan of the show. And that being said, this volume should also be must-read because it has a lot of creative kind of single stories going on within it. Well, as I flip my paper over, I notice we're still in IDW land. We have Dick Tracy Forever coming out in trade. Dick Tracy story by Michael Avon Oeming. You enjoyed Dick Tracy. This is more of a modern take on him. It'll have all the correct feels of the old series, but it is not just a modern version of an old style Dick Tracy story. If you're a fan of Dick Tracy, if you're just like, I saw that Warren Beatty movie one time, you should still probably check this out. It's worth at least picking up an issue and reading, then deciding if you need the trade. But you need the trade, so check it out. And finally, this is something I don't care about, but Napoleon Dynamite, number one, written by Carlos Guzman Verdugo, Alejandro Verdugo, and art by Jorge Malongo. I have never been a Napoleon Dynamite guy. I never will be, but it's its first real comic book support, and I think if you're a fan of it, why would you not read it? It involves a weird story with political intrigue and silly humor, and I don't know, it looks, so for me to pick something that I don't care about and make it a note on here, just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not worth checking out. It doesn't mean that it's not a really good book and a really faithful addition to the source material, and that's what it looked like from the description. It looks like it's carrying on the story, you know, a little bit, nothing too crazy. And if you're a fan of Napoleon Dynamite, I want you to know that that exists, and I want you to buy it. I want you to support these people, even though I don't care. Good on you. Next, we go to Dynamite. We have two books from Dynamite I want to highlight. We have Vampirella Red Sonja number one. This is being written by Jordi Belair, who is more known for coloring, but her writing's pretty good, as well as we saw on, was it Red Stain, Red Fang, Red something or other. That book was cool. It had witches. And then we had art by Drew Moss. And we have a Terry Dodson cover. All these crossover books where it's so-and-so meets so-and-so, or, you know, just weird team-ups and just what sticks. It seems like Vampirella Red Sonja has stuck. That's cool if you can kind of build some sort of continuity between all these other miniseries to go along with, hopefully, this ongoing title. I enjoy Vampirella at times. I really do love Red Sonja. So it will be interesting to see how the dynamic works out. It's Jordi Belair, so it's got a very good shot of being something good. And then we have Chastity, number one. This is the 25th anniversary of Chaos Comics. This is written by Lee Williams, art by Daniel Main, with a Clayton Crane cover. I enjoyed Chaos Comics for what it was at the time. It was basically eyeball porn when it came to violence and severed heads and things like that, and horror in general. Chastity was never one of my favorite characters, but if they're going to do something for the 25th anniversary, I think it's worth mentioning. And if she was your go-to Chaos character, she'd back, and you should support her. I liked Evil Ernie. Next, we go to Boom with Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance number one, written by Nicole Anglefinger, and art by Matthias Basler. These Dark Crystal books keep coming out. These Jim Henson stories, both Labyrinth and Dark Crystal, are real popular. And this seems to be a continuing continuity thing that everybody is getting behind. So if you are behind and you want to jump in, this is a good place to do so. And then we have Something is Killing the Children, number one of five, written by James Tynion IV, who's known for Detective Comics. and art by Werther Del Edira? I can't read my writing. Which was the artist on Brigsland. Brigsland had some cool art. It's pretty much monsters killing children, and most never come back until this one woman shows up, and she goes, I murdered the demons. And that's your story, essentially. Keeping it super simple. I'm sure there's so much more to it, but simple base two-sentence kind of description of this horror story. And it just has a cool title. Something is killing the children. It would be better if they added a question mark. Something is killing the children? No, that's probably not true. And then for you Lumberjanes fans, there is Lumberjanes, The Shape of Friendship, original graphic novel written by Lila Sturgis and Potter Inc. is your art. Lumberjanes is, again, that's another one that has a huge fan base and has been going for a while. For an indie book to reach over 50 issues nowadays is fantastic, and this one is way beyond that. And it keeps getting original graphic novels, and I like that. Next, we go to Ablaze Comics, which I'm not super familiar with, but we have Vampire State Building, number one, written by Andre Renault, and art by The Walking Dead's Charlie Adlard. So I think that's the big appeal. It's Charlie Adlard on it, and now that we know that Walking Dead is done, now it makes a little more sense. Basically, your story is Terry is about to go on active military duty, so he goes to the Empire State Building to say goodbye to his friends and just kind of have one cool night in New York before he leaves, when vampires happen. And I assume they attack everywhere, but the description makes it sound like they're just attacking the Empire State Building. I don't know if this will be good or not, but it's such an out there concept, I'm not against it. It's worth at least one issue to see what kind of wackiness we're getting into. Plus, I like the art. Now we're going to Action Lab, and we're going to talk about Going to the Chapel number 1, which is written by David Pepos, who we interviewed. And by the way, I'm glad your dog is doing better. Holly is the greatest dog. Who's a good dog? Holly's a good dog. You rule. Also art by Gavin Goodry. We basically have a story of Die Hard meets Wedding Crashers kind of thing. It's a dysfunctional wedding, and then Elvis-themed bank robbers show up, and everything goes to hell. I really gotta say, if you're not reading Action Lab, they have some really killer books coming out, and how could you not? I mean, there's one about a reindeer with a chainsaw. How could you not want that? But David is a really good writer. I'm very pleased with what is going on with his Spencer and Locke books. I think he should be on your radar, for sure, going forward. So this is going to be a blast to read. You can find some previews of the art online. I'm sure if you're just like, hey Dave, how great is your book? Please explain it to me. He will tell you. He will tell you how great this book is. I've always enjoyed books like this where you have what is essentially a normal thing, like a wedding. And maybe even with the dysfunctional side of it, the family's not quite getting along, it's a normal thing. But then you add something so off the wall, like Elvis impersonator bank robber. And you just get this gold, you get this magic. You could take that story and you could make it silly, you could make it very dark and serious, and either way, you'd still be in. And I think David's going to go the fun route, and I think the book will be fantastic, and I think you should be reading it. I think you should be reading it, because talking to him and seeing that look in his eye of how excited he is, that's a good sign. That's a good sign for all us comic readers. Next up, Archie Comics. We've got Archie 55 number 1, written by Mark Waid, art by Brian Augustin. Archie discovers rock and roll. It's kind of fun. After the success of Archie 1941, I believe it was, where they talk about what if the gang was around during World War II, and, you know, were they going to get drafted, and it was a very serious story. This is probably a little more lighthearted, I'd imagine, but it involves Archie basically creating a rock and roll band and it being so different from what's out there. I do like these time period books with Archie where you're kind of learning something about history. Just take out X person and throw Archie and the gang in and you're learning history in a way. It's kind of fun, right? And Mark Waid's really good. The guy can write anything. All right, next up, I'm going to Fantico. And the book is called Margot, Intergalactic Trash Collector. Your writer and artist is Jim Whiting. And the description is, the ultimate weapon falls into wrong hands, and an underpaid trash collector with attitude has to save us. I'm a big fan of B-movies and bad movies, or just the silliest of plots, and on paper, this is the silliest of plots, and usually they're the most fun to read, so I love that. I'm going to support that book. Next up, part of the Humanoids series, which there's a bunch of books under the Humanoids banner, is Meyer, trade paperback, written by Jonathan Lang, art by Andrea Muti, which, trying to remember, did something with Zach Aplin, I think. Was it Port of Earth? Was that Port of Earth? Doesn't matter. I could easily look this up, but I'm not going to. Basically, it's about old mobster Meyer Lansky. He's planning one more job, even though everyone thinks he's dead, and he wants to keep it that way. So it's about an old mobster trying to do this one more job. But everyone still, to this day, thinks he's dead, which makes it a unique kind of story. The art's really fun. Humanoids are always cool, kind of one-and-done books, for the most part. I know the Meta Barons kind of continue, but in general, Humanoids, a lot of fun. If you're not familiar, do a Google search real quick and check out those books. Now we go to Mad Cave Studios, and we're going to talk about Honor and Curse, trade paperback number one, written by Mark London, art by Nicholas Salamanca, supernatural shinobi story. I infamously reviewed issue one, and I was dared to do it in a high-pitched voice, and it remains one of my least favorite minisodes I've ever done. That being said, the book is so good. Supernatural Shinobi pretty much covers it, where your main character, who is the one who's going to save the day, is also kind of cursed, and it isn't fun, and everyone will suffer for it, I'm sure. I did not continue reading all of the issues, so I will probably be picking this up in trade, and I really like Mad Cave. I like what they're doing. Speaking of Mad Cave still, we're going to talk about Show's End. Number 2 is in here. You can probably still tell your story you want Show's End number 1 and be able to get it. I did end up reading Show's End number 1. I had a review copy of it. Really cool story. It's basically a little girl running away with the circus that's traveling from town to town. And there's also grisly, horrific murders going on. Is there a connection? Is there not a connection? And what is actually going on? The freak show, so to speak, is really cool. The circus is cool. All the art and the characters were really fun. If you want something kind of different, it's not all superheroes and whatnot, you have a good circus story. If you're a fan of The Greatest Showman, it's just like that. It's nothing like that. But lie to everybody so they buy this book, okay? Next up, I think I wrote from Stone Arch. We have Thumbelina, Wrestling Champ, by Alberto Rayo and Alex Lopez. Retells the story of Thumbelina, but she's a wrestler. It's an all-ages story, and it explains the actual story of Thumbelina, just using wrestling as the background. There's actually a ton of these stories that are telling different popular novels, popular stories, beloved stories, and it is telling it through a different vehicle. I just love this one because wrestling. Because Thumbelina should be a smaller luchador. So check out that. Check out all the different books they have going on. A lot of them are currently available and can be ordered through the previews. So when you go to do your big book and you see this, you can also look at the other ones. And next, I have to mention, contractually, 112 Collective Marvel Moon Knight figure. An $80 action figure that is absolutely bonkers. And I am fighting the urges to order 1,000 of them. It is amazing how far action figures have come with the detail and the sculpting and all the printing and whatnot. It is so cool to see. And I mean, who doesn't love Moon Knight? Seriously, nobody should not love Moon Knight. And finally, Transformers Masterpieces MP46. What does that mean? Beast Wars Black Widow figure. This is also bonkers, and this is also a $140 figure. But out of all the figures that are, and the figures are in the back of the previews when you flip it upside down, out of all the action figures, this blew me away. I hadn't even like really thought of this character in a long time. I haven't watched Beast Wars in forever. And just seeing this insane figure that they built in this kind of character accurate pose, it all flooded back to me. And the fact that a toy could do that means they did their job super well. And now I just really kind of want to watch Beast Wars. And one day I will. I probably won't. All right, and that is it. That is the end of the episode. I hope everybody is finding these helpful and they're able to pick out some different things on their previews and kind of expand their horizons. So, again, I'm Tim. You want to talk to me on the old Twitter machines. It's @mad_dog_Tim. You can talk to the podcast at Capes and Scowls. The Instagram, which is a mix of both podcast and me, is @CapesandScowlsPodcast. You can email us, CapesandScowlsPodcast@gmail.com. Again, thanks to everybody, all the support. I enjoy doing this for you. It is a labor of love. I always read the previews from cover to cover because it makes my job at the comic book store, 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey, a million times easier. So when somebody says, "I heard about this book," I'll know what they're talking about. I guess the one last recommendation before I let you go is I just recommend you take your time with the previews. You probably write down everything you want and then start crossing things off, because people, you got to keep yourself in a good financial state, all right? If you can afford a $140 Beast Wars action figure, good on you, awesome. But if you can't, you can just wait. It'll be okay. It might cost you $200 in a month, but that's fine. You can afford it then. Don't put yourself in a bad spot now. The more you know. I don't know why I'm whispering. Anyways, that's it. Thanks, everybody. And I will see you next month, where I talk more about previews and we talk about all these crazy events, these ongoing tie-ins, these things we do and do not care about, and we sort through the entire preview mess. Have a good one.